Thank you for joining us this morning for worship service, and this part is the video message, and as you can see, I'm recording from my home office, and hopefully you're at your home or place of responsibility where you can simply take time to enter into a time of worship. The bulletin and order of service have been emailed separately. Hope you've been able to have a chance to connect with those and see some of the prayers and scriptures and hymn readings that are part of our service. There are links to the hymns that can help you to sing if you'd like, and perhaps that's a way of sharing in our life together for these days when we're so far apart or isolated from one another. Certainly look forward to the days when we can gather together again to sing together, to pray together, and listen to God's word. Meantime, we'll do that from home. Scripture reading this morning is based on Philippians chapter 1, and would like to take time to read that as we begin. Paul writes, "I thank my God every time I remember you. With all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since you have been in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Thus far the reading. The theme for this morning is Mother Cannot Forget. It's part of our larger sermon series, God Will Not Forget Us. As I've been meditating on the words of Apostle Paul from the letter of Philippians, I have found these words particularly to be more relevant for us in these days. A little bit of a sideline here. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Hopefully this is taking place in our homes, but also in the community, for our neighbors, when we're at the store or other places where we're trying to acquire things, that we take what we need and not more, simply so that others have opportunity. Not only our own interests, but the interests of others. In that, God will strengthen us to be a community and restore us once again to more of a normalcy of life. Today is Mother's Day, and typically on Mother's Day, stories abound of the self-sacrifice that mothers have made for their children. While this is not the case for every child, I recall my own early years receiving support and loving kindness from my mother, only to realize later on in life the enormous sacrifice it was for her to ensure that I and my six siblings all had enough to eat, that we were well clothed, and at a safe home to which we belonged. For this, I'm deeply grateful. Although our mother died some 5 years ago, I find it emotional these days to see the images of children and grandchildren standing outside on a lawn, looking at a window from which behind mother or grandmother is sitting, waving to each other or talking on the phone, finding ways to exchange news, to express love, yet with that separation, separated often by glass for protection. Since the COVID-19 restrictions have been implemented, within our church family, there have been the deaths of at least two mothers, one who died of natural causes, and the other a direct cause of the coronavirus. These mothers and many other people have been dearly loved, and with the necessity of social distancing, our hearts have ached because of the limitations on our ability to be a community for each other, to be a people of faith with one another, to gather in time of need to support, to honor life and faith of loved ones, and to share the burden of grief and sorrow. Sharing the message this morning in acknowledgement of Mother's Day, I'm aware that, again, not every mother-child relationship has been a happy and deeply cherished one. I acknowledge in the realm of life experiences of our relationships with parents are varied. Sometimes they're strained, and in some cases, deeply broken. Having said that, today I'll be reflecting on relationships that have been nurturing, caring, and loving. Again, as I was praying in preparation for the message, I was drawn to the verse written to the church by the Apostle Paul. I thank God every time I remember you. Last week, Pastor Nick's message from Ephesians began with remembering you in my prayers. It was a reminder of our community of faith during these days when we cannot gather, of sharing our normal gathering and being a support for each other. Our challenge these days is to remember those of the community who might be forgotten, the quiet ones, the ones without direct family connections, who are beyond simply being isolated. Pastor Nick shared the idea of used by some other pastors who have placed photographs on the pews of the church in the area where those people normally sit for worship. It's just a bit of a visual reminder of those who are absent. In our need for social distancing, we're finding new ways to remember one another in our prayers and in our care for each other. Some months ago, that also Pastor Nick shared the idea of the preaching theme, God will not forget us, as a means of exploring concepts of our daily encounters with forgetfulness. And from our human limitations, our forgetfulness is more than simply dementia of elderly. In the Old Testament, time and again, Israel was told not to forget, not forget what the Lord had done. And in the midst of that, God will not forget us. When Paul wrote his letters to the churches, his frequent references to remembering them, remembering in his prayers, was more than just a nice thought. Paul was deeply rooted in the broad salvation story of God, the broad salvation story of God's people. Paul was drawing upon much of the Bible to which God's people are to remember. When Noah was in the ark, God remembered and made a covenant with all people and all living creatures. When the Hebrew people were slaves in Egypt, God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Time and again, Israel is called to remember the commandments of the Lord given to Moses for the people to obey, for their well-being, to live well. At the empty tomb of Jesus, the women disciples were told by two angels to remember what Jesus had told them concerning his death and resurrection. To remember, it's to bring to mind, to recall, to remind. To remember is to retain in the memory, to reminisce on those previous experiences, and to rejoin ourselves to them and to other people. To remember is to not forget, to not erase those things of the past. After 2 months of our social distancing and isolation, it's becoming more difficult to remember the patterns of life that we had before that coronavirus happened. Yet we long for a return to those days. And interestingly enough, life has changed for all of us. My hope is we will also make changes in our routines that help us to focus more attention on our relationships and on our purpose in life. There is a place in the mind and the soul, allowing us to remember the satisfying and joyful experiences of life. We also remember the painful and traumatic. They leave an imprint upon us. Israel is to remember their slavery, but also to remember that God's mighty power delivered them. To remember is a present-day activity, recalling the past in order to live into the future. When the Apostle Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you," he invites the recalling of their past relationship in order to help them to live into a future. Recalling the commandments of the Lord that were given to Moses, the fifth commandment invites us to live into a future. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There's that aspect of recalling, honoring, so that, which is the promise, leading into the future. Honor your father and your mother. Remember them with respect so that it may go well with you. I've previously shared on other occasions, when I was able to visit my mother in British Columbia, after Dad died, she lived on her own in an apartment, and sometimes I went there for a few days or a week and stayed with her to make the most of our time together. After we would say our good nights and the lights were turned out, before I fell asleep, I could hear from her bedroom her saying her prayers. I could hear her from her bedroom clearly because she had taken out her hearing aids for the night, and she had no idea how loudly she was speaking. But she was talking with God. And what impressed me most was that in addition to her giving thanks for what had happened during the day, she concluded her prayers by naming each of us her children. There's our spouses, and each of her grandchildren, naming each of us by name. I thank my God every time I remember you. Recalling the past, living into a future. In the development of families with children, the adult parent relates to the child, providing for the child in a variety of ways, and the child is sometimes, especially younger, literally totally dependent on the care of the adult parent. In simplified terms, the relationship is described as adult to child, in which there are general roles of expectation. As the child grows, there's a shift in that relationship whereby the child matures towards becoming an adult. This transition is a shift in the relationship, and what the parents experience is often called the child's teenage years, that wonderful time of a child's growing independence, often followed with creativity. As a result of the shift, the child's relationship with the parent morphs into that of a relationship of adult to adult. Unfortunately, in some cases, the adult finds it difficult or maybe even refuses to relinquish the dominant role in the relationship. The transition from dependence to independence can be a rough time, with emotional bumps and bruises, especially if the parent insists that the child adult remain in a childlike role of dependence. I recall that when my wife and I dedicated our children together with the church, as part of that commitment with the church, we acknowledged our partnership with God in caring for and supporting the lives entrusted to us. Our hope and prayer was that one day they would become independent with their own faith and trust in God and share in their own way with members of the wider community. While my own mother often referred to me as her baby, we shared support for one another in adult-to-adult relationships in matters of life and faith. There was that acknowledgement. I was still her youngest, but yet we shared as adult-to-adult. I thank my God every time I remember you, recalling the past, living into a future. In his letter to Christians, Paul establishes a mood of affection. He expresses hopeful optimism with thanksgiving and prayer as he recalls his relationship with them. And rather than speaking down to them as adult to child, spiritually, he doesn't use spiritually superior language in his conversation. He speaks to them as partners in the gospel of Christ. Paul draws attention to the God who energizes all good work of supporting each other in the community as a basis of his future confidence in them. His confidence in them is matched by his prayer for their continued growth, expressing deep affection and longing for them. I thank God every time I remember you, recalling the past, living into a future. Recently, I saw a photo of our mother, and in the photo, which is from 6 years ago, that was a year before she died, she's sitting in a wheelchair, wearing her white sweater, covered with her blue afghan. Her chin is resting on her chest, as though she's asleep, which she probably was. Her hands are folded on her lap, and yet there's another hand embracing hers, the hand of my older brother, Richard. She's sleeping, but she may just as well be praying, naming each of her children, each of her grandchildren, bringing them before God, reminding God, rejoining them with God, recalling the past, helping them to live into the future. And for this, I give thanks. Mom, I thank my God every time I remember you. Amen. Thank you for joining me this morning, and as you go from this time of worship, give thanks to those who've shared in your life a love of God's word, the salvation story of Jesus Christ, but also thank those who help you along the way, those at the grocery store, those who assist with various other things, and especially our frontline workers caring for the elderly and the sick. And now, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving to God. Amen.